Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Fred was yelling at me. He didn't think I was ready for the show, and mainly because I was looking for my chair that everyone steals. I need the flat, what do you call those things? Armrest, right? The flat armrest chair. How is everybody today on this Wednesday? Outside of Fred being worried about me being ready, are we doing okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Click this button over here because Ethan didn't do his job, so I'm trying to do Ethan's job for him today as well.
It's too early to start passing the blame.
Yeah, but that happens sometimes. Ethan, can you crank those blinds up for me? Usually I get into the studio like 45 seconds earlier. That's the difference.
That's about right.
Yeah, it is about right. Right. Yeah. Then I usually do, and I need the blinds open. We like to see the sunshine and the leaves changing, and the drug addicts who are passed out across the street. This is all part of our daily existence here at Odyssey St. Louis. But here we are on a Wednesday. Sue actually had to ask that question as she walked in. I wasn't completely sure. We never really are. The middle
no,
of the week
it's
seems
a weird thing.
Very confusing, right?
Yeah.
But we do have, tomorrow's going to be our birthday party. So we're very excited about that because none of us will be here tomorrow. Fred, you'll be here because you have to come in for a little while, right?
I'll be out there for the party.
I understand that, but you're going to be, like, the rest of us won't even, well, Ethan, you might be here in the building, too. All right, and everything I just said, ignore. Sue and I won't be here at all. We're going to go right to the party.
Ethan and I have real work to do, and then we'll come.
There's a shot across the bow right there. We will be live broadcast tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. from the Lit Cigar Lounge in the district in Chesterfield. That is, like, you get off of Boone's Crossing right there, you'll see the factory. It's kind of between the factory and what's that that thing where the kids play out there? What's that
a
thing
field?
Called?
I don't know.
Now maybe I'm thinking of a different. It's like one of those climbing deals that they go to. Maybe
all right.
Like
I don't
the fun
know.
Zone. I think I'm getting this wrong anyway.
Oh,
so just
right.
Ignore what I said. Is there something like that
yes.
out there?
Yes.
Yeah, by Top Golf and all that. Right. You know, we do have microphones in the studio, Ethan. You can always jump on one of those and use
it. You got
me
potted up?
Yes, I do, actually.
It's called, I think, The Edge or something like that.
Something
like
that.
It's out there by Top Golf, though.
Yeah.
It's in that whole district.
Okay,
yes,
I'm not imagining things. Thank you very much. So we do need, apparently we need an RSVP, which if you go to 971talk.com, there's a little link on there, and we're going to have all kinds of guests. Mark Cox is going to kind of co-host the show with me. Annie will be there. John Beck, who is the general manager of 97.1 when all this started 25 years ago. We have a couple of politicians like Congressman Bob Onder will swing by, former Senator Lamping, who lives not too far from Chesterfield out in
that's
the
good.
Augusta Defiance area, and we'll... Fred, what are we doing on the show itself tomorrow? Have we made that decision?
That was pretty much it. That was it.
Oh,
we're interviewing.
So we're
all
just
these
having.
People.
So you're just basically putting names down, and they're coming in, and we're celebrating. And we're thinking
well,
about
it's
the
probably
past.
More than that. But yeah, that's the end result.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's come out to talk about the importance of KFTK. to the area in their lives, that sort of thing.
That's
right.
Nice.
Well, we hope to see the audience out there. We always like to meet and greet.
Can I quickly just share this comment from Russell on the YouTube channel?
You can.
It says, Ethan chair, Ethan Diet Coke, Ethan blinds, Ethan blanket. Says I need more than just one award.
You know, that guy is dialed in, though.
Right.
He is dialed into the realities of this radio show. But I didn't ask for the blanket because for some reason the temperature is like 10 degrees warmer than it has been.
I know, but here's the bad news. They think it's broken and they're going to fix it, which means we're going to be back to blanket land, I predict, by Friday.
Yeah, Brett says, the HVAC system's broken soon. I'm like, good, leave it that way, right? We can take this temperature. Boy, it is starting to feel a little chilly, though, out there, like in the mornings
and the evenings.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like
guys,
that.
It's going to be 38 tonight.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be. That's what I said on KZK.
Okay. Well, let's check our weather app.
That's my Dave Murray app.
I'm going to check my Dave Murray app here, and it's going to tell me 38 sounds significantly cold. I will tell you that.
Overnight.
Becky's been popping on the, I understand that. But, holy cow, 37 the next. So, yeah, we're in the 30s the next two nights?
Yes.
That's significant. And then a high of only like low 60s and maybe a high on Sunday of only 58. So fall is here officially, I think we can say. I see no numbers as I look at my Dave Murray Weather Channel app that says temperatures that start with a 7 in the next 2 weeks.
I know. So, I don't see that either. We just turned on the heat this morning.
Yeah, we've been turning it off, and then Becky popped it on this morning because I think it was a little chilly in the house. Okay, speaking of houses, I want to talk about the White House today, and I want to talk about the East Wing renovation. I talked about this yesterday. It is unreal to me how the left's heads are exploding about this. If there's ever been a strong verification, confirmation that TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, runs rampant in this country at a fever pitch and is in strong need of a vaccine that works better than COVID, this is it. Because I mentioned this yesterday, I'm tooling across Facebook, and you got people out, and these are traditional lefties that are doing this. It's usually people I know that I know are left-wingers or former news people at KMOX, which is the same thing, a bunch of left-wingers. Let's just put it that way. And they're putting this picture up there of the White House that is being destroyed. Look at what he's doing. This is symbolic to what Trump's doing to the country. Well, first of all, it's
renovation?
Not happening to the White House.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's be clear here. I can't do this on the radio with the map, but let's say that we're facing the White House, right? To the left, way over to the left, they have the West Wing. That didn't used to be there either, okay? That was created at one point. I don't have all the dates in front of me, but we can certainly get them. Remember, the show was called The West Wing, right? Yeah. So that's way over there on the left side. On the right side, let's see, what direction would that be? It's the opposite of west. I can't remember. Can you guys help me out?
East.
East, that's it. The east side has a room that was torn down yesterday. Had nothing to do. The images that you're seeing out there, the White House is fine. The White House is not going to change. By the way, the White House has changed over the years, too. Truman gutted
it.
Good
grief. We had a bowling alley at one point.
Yes. So Obama puts in a basketball court. That's fine. But this is different because it's Trump and because the images. And I'll be honest with you. When you see, you know, where the cranes have kind of wrecked that building, it looks rather stark. But if you don't know what you're looking at, right, the Washington Post puts this picture up there yesterday to scare the hell out of people. And everyone reacts on Facebook. Look what he's doing. So I don't do this. And I said this yesterday. I had to engage with people on Facebook because you lefties are being so dumb on this one. Is this the hill you want to die on? The guy is paying for this either out of his own pocket or with donations. There's no tax money that's going to this. Over the course of the history of this country, the White House has been changed on numerous occasions. And this is what I said to my friend Rod Lurie yesterday, who's a movie director in Hollywood. I always liked Rod, but I've known where his politics are. I said, okay, just for a moment, let's take a step back, just for a second, okay? And let's say that this is maybe something that needs to be done, maybe a little upgrade to a room that's used for state dinners where we don't have enough room, and maybe we'd like to have a ballroom that's a little bigger for events that we have in state dinners, because this is kind of old and outdated. So why don't we get some contributions and some donations together, and hey, I'll write a check out of my own pocket, mainly because the legacy media keeps writing me checks for what they've done to me over the last 10 years, and we'll have a beautiful ballroom. No, we can't do that. It eclipses the size of the White House. It's 90,000 square feet. I don't care. You know, in the end, I can promise this is going to happen. When this thing is done, okay, when we're done building this thing in 3 years, wherever, how long it's going to take, gloss. Oh, this is beautiful. Oh, yeah. I can't believe how stunning this is. Well, look what it. I mean, they won't want to say that, but believe me, that will be the reaction. Yes.
And they will wait until the next president is in office to say, oh, that's a nice room.
It's just, it's lunacy what's going on here. And I've said this half jokingly, but so many people need freaking help. I mean, you need serious help. If this is what you're, you know, obsessed about what Trump's doing, and you think this is some symbolic thing to the destruction that he's doing, it's the end of democracy, you still got J.B. Pritzker out there talking about Nazis and the Holocaust, you're insane. Regular, normal people in this country don't think the way you do. They are not obsessed with this guy in the White House because he hasn't affected their lives negatively. He's affected their lives positively. They have more money in their bank account. Everyone's taxes would go up starting January 1st if they didn't extend the tax cuts. Gas is pretty cheap right now. If you filled up your tank, the stock market, I looked at my accounts here a short time ago, up again. Inflation is down. Eggs are affordable. The Middle East peace deal was accomplished. We're talking. We're trying to get something done between Ukraine and Putin. And you had a guy that previously was in the White House that I swear to God, his former communications director, Karine Jean-Pierre, who's got a book that's number 124,000. I'm not even joking about that. On the bestseller list, like way down. It sold about 10 copies. She's out there saying, well, this president communicated with the American people twice a week on a regular basis. The hell he did. He barely communicated with the American people one-on-one twice a month.
Oh,
and that is not an exaggeration.
Not at all.
And she didn't do regular, you know, briefing. She did briefing. She didn't do as many as Carolyn and give the media access. So it's a bunch of nonsense. The no king stuff, all of this. I'm more sick. I don't think I've been this annoyed with people on the left since mask up with COVID, because that was dumb. And by the way, these are the same people. I guarantee the same people that were all worried about wearing a mask are the ones that are going on Facebook saying, oh, this is the destruction of democracy. How dare he do this? So here's Joe Scarborough acting like an idiot.
It's hard to believe that any president could destroy the White House.
You can't help but wonder if he didn't wait until these protests were already done before today he started literally physically tearing down the White House.
Previously said that the ballroom's construction would not affect the existing building here. Clearly not the case.
It is the case. It is. They keep lying about this. It's unbelievable. Have you seen one media source that's in like an overhead shot? I've seen some tweets. They show exactly what's happening. They give you a very good perspective of what the East Wing looks like and what the West Wing looks like. And there's this big building in the middle. What's that thing called? Oh, yeah, the White House.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not affected at all right now. Here's Carolyn.
The White House is going to have a big, beautiful ballroom for generations of Americans to come. And the best part of it all, it's not a dime of the taxpayers' money.
Oh, but he didn't seek permission. He didn't go through the process. We don't know that. You don't know what he did and didn't do. You have all these people that are out there saying one thing and they're clearly people that have an axe to grind. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, too. Remember all the economists? Weren't there 50 of them that signed on in the spring to say the tariffs were so terrible? We'd be in a recession right now, right? Like right now,
we're in
a recession. That's what they predicted. The experts, the people that were in the know, who are always wrong, by the way, always wrong. Same people who were wrong about COVID. So here's Selena Zeno putting this into great perspective for us.
Jackie Kennedy did a beautiful restoration of the White House, and in her long-term plan was to put in a ballroom. Unfortunately, as we know, the president died while he was in office, and she was never able to fulfill that dream. But the media attention when she did it, and I don't have a problem with it, was that she gave a White House tour. I'm old enough to remember it, and she won an Emmy for it.
Don't you remember seeing the video of this? Fred,
yes.
You were old enough to watch it live. Right. She was given a live tour of the White House.
And I think the larger problem within my profession, but also just with people that are, as I said, clutching their pearls, is they don't have historical context. And I think that's really, really important.
Yeah,
almost
it is.
Every president has done some sort of reparation. And it's not as though President Trump is going to take home the White House when he leaves. This is something that is everlasting until it needs a renovation.
I think what we need to do at this point is just start putting some money together and betting on November. And here's what I mean. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel freak out last month. Oh, it's Jimmy Kimmel, freedom of speech. Trump is ruining democracy. This week, this month, it's the White House renovations. What's next? Let's put a pool together and take some guesses.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
One more thing on my rant here, because you know, I had a friend who was texting me yesterday about the White House renovations, and my response is pretty simple and consistent on this. You know, this is a legacy media that didn't cover the border. They lied over and over again about COVID, not to mention about the investigations into President Trump. They protected Biden at every turn. They protected him. They never paid any attention to the DEI or this trans nonsense. So my response was, and this is kind of how I feel on a lot of this stuff, I have zero F's to give anymore. I really do. Because what happened during the Biden administration was ridiculous. And now all these brains are exploding because he's renovating and putting in a ballroom that's going to be used probably for the rest of American history, and it's going to look great.
Without
and he's not even,
yeah,
right,
money.
And the taxpayers aren't even. Unbelievable. Brian Kilmeade back with us this afternoon. I'm guessing you've talked about the White House renovation story just a little bit on television and the radio. How are you?
Oh, yeah. But if you look at the, you know, I remember, you know, as you research Truman, and I remember succinctly in David McCullough's book, you know, when Truman goes to move into the White House, the whole place is falling apart. He's got to spend most of his first term in the Blair House. And they got the whole thing, and there's pictures available. It was literally down to the studs. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess he might have gone to Congress. I know he wasn't big into fundraising. He was not rich. And so he probably went to Congress, but they just had no choice. The place was actually dangerous. So instead of getting to that point, you know, Teddy Roosevelt put in the West Wing, and FDR, you know, the whole thing, putting, you know, covering up the pool and the basketball court, there's always improvements. Well, Trump's the best builder we've ever had. He wants to put a ballroom in. I also love the anecdote that he called Axelrod when he was a businessman and said, it's embarrassing that the White House doesn't have a ballroom, that you got to put up tents. I'll do it. And Axelrod regrets not taking him up on that.
That's
so now
interesting.
He's in it.
Yeah.
He had 4 years and comes back 4 years later. I'm doing these things. I'm fixing it. And I will probably not get into that ballroom. I mean, I think they can get it done in 4 years, I imagine. But he said, probably I might not be able to use that. But I'm looking to fix this place up. At the same time, he really respects the legacy of it.
But, Brian, you're far more important and busier person than me, so I don't think you've wasted your time seeing some of the nonsense on social media. But the way that some of these people's heads are exploding over this is really unbelievable. I mean, I can't, and I don't know what's next, because they need their heads to explode about something related to him. And I mentioned in the previous segment, you know, last month it was Jimmy Kimmel and, you know, all that. So this month it's this. I don't know what's coming up in November. But the Trump derangement syndrome symptoms, they're going up. They're skyrocketing. They're not going down like COVID.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, one thing I would notice. There's less Republicans, you know, like George Will, for example, and Bill Kristol. There's less Republicans that just can't stand Trump. Some of them, like Jeb Bush, has gone quiet. And he points out different things he likes. That the big thing in the first term, there were so many Republicans that had a problem with him. And then there was so many of his own staff had a problem with him, that they work against him to save the country, air quotes. And then, you know, you had people in the Senate and House that didn't like him. But now the Senate is really united. Even Rand Paul doesn't vote for anything. He is not an enemy of Trump. So that's one thing is different. And I do think that they've expanded the number of people in the media. Like, you should apply. You should go there one day. I'm sure you could get in there. And the fact that he's expanded, he doesn't have a bunch of people following him around just screaming horrible things. So I think that has improved. You know, that's one thing is better. But for the most part, you got to just figure it, that whatever this president's ratings are, it's with 89 to 94% of the stories about him negative.
Which is maybe an underestimate based on what we've seen.
Right.
So what, you know, this whole No Kings thing, I keep seeing pictures of people going to that. That didn't manifest in anything. These are all older white people that are guilty about being white and that hate Trump. That's who was protesting last weekend.
Listen, Mark, the president did have a great election, right? He wins a popular vote, and he wins the Electoral College. It's farcical that nobody tells Kamala that it's not the closest one in the last century. I can't believe you keep saying that. But there is the 60 million people that didn't vote for, 65 million people didn't vote for. So if you tell me a few million across our country in a pre-gained way, many of which were getting paid, would show up. And, okay, I mean, Bernie Sanders and AOC get big crowds. There's not one of those people. They know they're looking at two people that will never get elected in our country. But it doesn't mean you can't get big crowds at one point. So congratulations. But what is the message? No kings. He's not a king. Did you see he got stopped from putting the National Guard in Portland? That's not what a king does. You think a government would be shut down if a king had the power for our country?
That's a great
point.
The
government shut down? My goodness, are you crazy? So the fundamental reason that you're out there is dumb.
So what are you hearing now on the shutdown? I think last week when we spoke, you were even saying, look, this thing might go into, you know, Thanksgiving time. And I think it might at this point. But, you know, the edge that they seem to think that they have on this healthcare issue doesn't seem to be manifesting itself with the American public. And I think Republicans are in no position right now. Look, Senator Thune's being very clear, and other Democrats or other Republicans are saying, look, we will have discussions about these issues. We got to open up the government first and then let's do it.
And if you give in now and you do negotiate, that's what's going to happen all the time with Democrats. They're going to say, you know, I don't have the power, I don't have the majority, but since you need my 6 votes in the Senate, my 5 votes now in the Senate, I'm going to hold out for, let me see, roll the dice, health care. It's never going to be defense spending. That's what the Republicans do because they care about that for some reason Democrats never have. But if you think about it, if I'm Republicans, I would go, yeah, you know that Obamacare that not one Republican voted for that we've been trying to repeal and now you like? Well, it's unaffordable. It's unsustainable unless we come up with more money to keep it afloat. And the money that we came up for was during the pandemic and it all was expiring. That's how Biden passed it. So we have to now be a holdout and locked out and shut down our government because you put together a health care plan on a pure party vote. That's unsustainable, that business model was not working, that the deductibles are too high and the premiums are going to grow. And when the premiums get too high, they want taxpayers to supplement it. All for Barack Obama's health care plan that Nancy Pelosi jammed down our throats on a simple majority vote. And we have to pass it to find out what's in it. Well, Nancy, it's been 10 years. We found out what's in it and it doesn't work.
Well,
now, it's not a quick fix.
Yeah.
I don't have the perfect health care program. Mark, you don't. But it's going to take intelligent people sitting down with all ends of the business. You know, they want to vilify insurance companies. Let's see the evidence. You want to vilify doctors. Let's see the evidence. Hospitals. I don't know. I'd like to see this. You know, we go round and around in this. We want to keep free market principles involved in the medical profession and give everyone the same health care, regardless of your income. I haven't seen that model yet, but I still think our system's the best. But it definitely cannot be fixed on a continuing resolution deal.
So did you see, I haven't addressed this, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more later, the Amy Klobuchar tweet about the early retirees seeing their health insurance premiums go up nearly three. Oh, this is awesome. So she tweets this out a couple of days ago. Early retirees like Bill and Shelley will see their health insurance premiums increase nearly 300% from $442 to $1,700 per month. Here's the problem. This is a couple that retired in their 50s early. They don't work. They make $136 a year off pension and IRA savings, and they want taxpayers to give them a $15,000 a year handout. They're like the poster child. They're the poster child for revoking the tax. Or the Republicans should be putting them up there as the poster child. But Amy Klobuchar thinks that that's going to play on the hearts of the American people.
Yeah, that's great research on your part. I haven't heard that. But what they tell me, and I've talked to people off camera, they say, Brian, there's people with a combined income of $300,000 that are getting supplements from the pandemic.
Yes.
Because their money had stopped, I guess. That was the theory. They weren't working. And job wasn't paying them. Well, now that's the case. That's why it evaporates. That's why it's sunset. The other thing they say, it's 400, and you can be eligible for these subsidies, pandemic's over, if you're 400% above the poverty line. Please tell me how that makes sense. That was never the intent with Medicaid and Medicare.
No, it makes no sense.
Not.
Makes no sense whatsoever. Hey, I'm short on time. You got anything planned for Sunday night show yet?
Yeah, it looks like Senator Cassidy is going to be joining me, and I want to drill down on the healthcare part of this because, as you know, he voted for president to be impeached, but now him and the president are on good terms. He just left the White House. I want an intelligent, like the one we're having, an intelligent conversation on, let's say, when we get the government open, what we're going to do about healthcare, because I do know there's good people listening to us right now that are going to be affected, and I'd like to find out a healthy way, an American way to help them. Not an Obama subsidy. We're going to get you towards single payer plan to do it. I'm also going to have Brett Baer on, and we're going to who is the other senator? Oh, Senator Dave McCormick is also going to be with us, and Jimmy Fallon.
Awesome. Have a great week, Brian. We'll talk next week.
Go get him.
All right.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, our big birthday party is coming up tomorrow. We are on location at Lit Cigar Lounge in the District down in Chesterfield. Come see us. RSVP at 971talk.com. A bunch of guests lined up for tomorrow. I really don't have to do much because there's going to be like co-hosts with me and I can kick back. And I don't smoke cigars, but maybe I will tomorrow. So just for you, because I know how much you love the smell. James Fishback is back with us this afternoon. The CEO of Azori is the founder and executive director of Incubate Debate. He's been a guest for a long time here on the show. James, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me back.
I want to talk to you about some of the H-1B visa issues and some of the other things you've been illustrating. But, I, you know, whenever I have a guest on, I typically go to their X page and just kind of see what you've been talking about. And you had this thing up there that I had missed about something that occurred in Gainesville, Florida, where there was a teacher that was forcing students and faculty to address her with the prefix, MX instead of Ms. or Mrs. This is something that's real right down there in Florida.
Right. And the whole idea is, no, I'm a gender-neutral teacher. And then you have the students asking, what is that? And that, of course, gives her the license to then explain this weird, queer social justice theory to these young, impressionable fourth graders. And I am so glad that Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer stepped in. This teacher is now being disciplined. In this country and in this world, God created male and female. There is no MX. There is Mr. and Miss. And any teacher trying to pervert her pronouns is a deviant and is trying to push propaganda on her
kids. It's disgusting. I mean, I can't even imagine what my reaction would be if my daughter came home who's in fifth grade and said something like this was happening. I think my head would certainly explode. All right, let's talk about the shutdown a little bit related to the claims that are being made by the left and the right, and in particular on this, because both sides are saying different things on the illegals. Ah, the migrants, it's a lie. They're not getting any government assistance. The folks on the right say, well, no, it's not, if you look into what's really happening out there. So this is a position where the Democrats continue to not vote to reopen the government. They're demanding $1.5 trillion in benefits that could go to illegal migrants. How does this thing get settled? And how, you know, muffed up are the numbers here that the Democrats are trying to seize on?
Well, the truth is, this all began, like most things, during the scamdemic. They passed a temporary emergency health care subsidy. And as you know, Mark, there's nothing more permanent in D.C. than a temporary emergency subsidy. And so now we are the unreasonable ones for telling the Democrats that no, 5.5 years after the China virus was unleashed on the world, we are not going to continue the Obamacare-era health care subsidies. And I think what the Senate Republicans have done is very noble, is we can have a debate about health care, but we're not going to have that in the midst of you holding the entire country up at gunpoint. What the Senate Republicans have now proposed is, let's do a clean CR, what they did earlier this year. Everyone voted on it. Let's do a clean CR to reopen the government, to get those paychecks to our great service members, to our air traffic controllers, to get SNAP benefits to families who need them. And then let's have a separate independent debate about the merits or the demerits of this health care subsidy policy. That's reasonable. But no, because their policy is so untenable. This healthcare extension is so ridiculous, or to use a technical term, redonkulous. It is so redonkulous, Mark, that the only possible way it could ever get passed into law, no, it's not through open debate on the floor of the Senate, but by forcing the country to swallow this pill in the midst of a shutdown, using that as the ultimate lever to reopen the government. And President Trump is not going to blink. The Senate Democrats will, whether it's next week, next month, or maybe even in early 26 next year. So be it. But you cannot hold our country hostage.
Let it go. I say shut it down as long as it takes, because you can't bend on this one. Here's something. You've been repeating this a little bit, and I think it's important. I'd love to, you know, get reactions to some of the folks on the left and see what they would respond here. The federal government budget is 54% higher than it was right before COVID. 54%. We're talking trillions of dollars. But even when you talk about peeling back or holding spending levels, James, to previous levels, right? Like last year's levels, that's controversial in Washington with the Democrats. You can't, that's a cut, right? If you just want to keep spending at a current level, that's a cut.
Yeah. Exactly. You think about your listeners, and I've been to St. Louis, and it's awesome. And think about people. Have their expenses of their own volition gone up by 54% over the past 5 years? Of course not. The government is spending, which is to say they are taxing us, whether it's now or in the future, 54% more than they were 5 years ago. Well, is our government 54% more efficient? Are the services they're giving us 54% more effective? Is the DMV line 54% quicker? Of course none of that is true.
That's for sure.
And so this, the premise of DOGE, which is transparency, accountability, and efficiency, I was fortunate to be on this team very early on, is we don't have to roll back the clock to the era of Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan. All we have to do is to get government spending where it was right before the scamdemic, which was, in fact, part of the problem. It was the scamdemic that allowed us to pervert the federal budget the way it has been. Get it back to where we were right before the pandemic, and we're going to be fine. And by the way, Mark, if we got federal spending to where it was 5 years ago, we would have a balanced budget.
Isn't that amazing?
That would be balancing the. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Get spending to where it was 5 years ago. The budget is balanced into perpetuity, and then we can start really paying down this debt. Because I'm really getting sick of Republicans and Democrats in D.C. with their pet projects, and they're putting it on our children and on their children. And no one should be a slave to China. That is the number one holder of our debt internationally. And every time we print more money, buy things that we don't need for people that don't even live, are not even citizens to our country. That is an abomination.
James Fishback back with us this afternoon. All right. I know that you have been covering this H-1B visa issue, and you know, there was some information that came out on this here in the last couple of days that he's talking about a $100,000 visa fee that will apply to new visa applicants outside of the country. Explain this issue and why it's so important right now, James.
Well, there's this lie that's been peddled by Democrats and one Republican in particular. I don't want to name names, but there's this lie that's been peddled that Americans are not skilled, that we're not qualified, that we're just dumb and lazy. And that is a lie. That is a slanderous lie against Americans who have worked hard, who have hustled and have done everything right. So in the 1990s, they passed this H-1B program to address what they called the skills gap. When companies needed to hire a skilled engineer for an internet project, or increasingly nowadays, an AI project, and they technically couldn't find one, they would say, in America. They had permission to import one from India. And they did it and did it again and again and again, to the point now where Amazon has 14,000 H-1Bs on the policy. When you've got a literal supermarket in Fort Myers, Florida, in my own home state of Florida, that employs an H-1B on the floor of a supermarket, we've got 50,000 accounting graduates getting a degree in this country every single year, and yet McKinsey, Accenture, and Deloitte are using H-1Bs to hire entry-level accountants. Here's a radical concept. American jobs are for Americans. When you discriminate based on the citizenship status of an American and say, well, because you are an American citizen, that we can't pay you the lower rate that we can pay a Chinese or an Indian, that we are not going to give you the job. That is a real problem. And we have to take this idea of made in America a step further. If the stuff is made in America, whether it's a good or a service, but it's made by imported third world cheap foreign labor, then what does that matter? What good does that do us if that labor is not accruing to us, where we can then buy a home and save up and buy dirt and put branches on our family tree? If it's made by foreign labor in America, you might as well just tariff it. And so take the concept further, not the three words made in America, Mark, but made in America, wait for it, by Americans. Radical concept. Americans get American jobs. That's how it ought to work. And when I think of my dad, he grew up in the 1960s. Half of 30-year-old men in the 1960s, half of them owned their home and were married. Today, only 15% of 30-year-old men own their home and are married. And maybe, maybe just maybe, that has something to do with importing all of these third world workers and giving jobs that would have gone to good men in my hometown of Broward County and up in St. Louis. Good, hardworking people are being replaced by the globalists. And make no mistake, the globalist cabal includes both Democrats and Republicans. We have to send a very loud message to Washington, D.C. The great replacement of American workers must stop and stop now.
But James, you would agree. You would not be on the same page as President Trump on this issue, right?
Well, the president has the right instincts with the $100,000 visa fee. And the thinking there is, well, if these workers are so skilled, then you should be willing to pay up for them. You don't get to hire an accountant for 60 grand when the market rate for an American accountant is 80 grand.
Yeah, right.
The reason why Accenture and Amazon and Google are hiring these Indians is not because they're more qualified. It's because they're cheaper and they're exploitable. And so what President Trump has done, he has the right instinct because he's opposed to the program, is what he's saying is, if we can put a $100,000 fee, we will effectively work to dismantle the program. I talked to the president about this the other day. We've got to take it a step further. We have to utterly dismantle this program. Look, if you're OpenAI, if you're Sam Altman, if you're Elon Musk over at XAI, and you want to hire the top Chinese mathematician to work on an AI project that is going to help America beat China in the AI arms race, by all means. That is not what the H-1B program is doing, though. The H-1B program literally employs more foreign accountants than it does computer scientists. That is a problem. That is wrong. And President Trump has the right instincts in wanting to dismantle this program for good.
So just to be clear, in case the audience is confused, that $100,000 fee would be for new applicants who live outside the country, and it's the employers that would pay the fee after the visa is approved. That's why, you know, because it wouldn't be the worker that's writing a $100,000 check, but the employers would have to do that. James, keep on. I'm always great.
Right. It would be. Yeah. It'd be the employer that's paying that.
Always great to have you on. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. This is on one of those situations with the ACA subsidy issue that I have this hope that Barry Weiss, who has taken over CBS News, can maybe make a difference in the way that some of these stories are explained to the American people, because I think this is a doozy. So it's Senator Amy Klobuchar up in Minnesota who tweets this out a couple of days ago. I referenced this with Brian Kilmeade, and I'm still shaking my head thinking, why would you do this when you're trying to make the case that the American people can't afford health care? You know, when you think of people who can't afford health care, you think of people who are on, you know, the outs. They don't have a job. They're below the poverty line, all these things. So Senator Klobuchar says early retirees like Bill and Shelley, and they have a picture of this cute couple here, will see their health insurance premiums increase nearly 300% from $442 to $1,700 a month if congressional Republicans refuse to extend the enhanced tax credits. That's an extra $15,000 a year that families can't afford. The problem is when you kind of dig down into the story, she wants you to have empathy here for this couple. And if you look at their income was $136,000 in 2024 from pensions and IRA withdrawals because they retired early in their 50s. Because you have, you know, deductions and things like that, they likely bring in more than $170,000 a year in their household. Now, that's not as much money as it used to be because we know about inflation, but they then expect me and the rest of you to subsidize people who retire more than a decade early so they can get a subsidy from the taxpayers. And they can spend time with it. How does that make any sense whatsoever?
Whoa.
Right now, and again, if you're Senator Klobuchar, maybe you can pick someone else out there to make the poster child for this instead of a white couple who are both, you know, retired in their 50s. And by the way, here's the other thing. That's not a bad deal. The deal that they're getting right now with these subsidies being reduced is incredibly low. Mm-hmm. Incredibly low. It's $400. So, yeah, it's doubling because they're both on it. So it's $800 for them a month more in their premiums, which is still a better deal than a lot of people get out there on the private market.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.